This is Karen Testerman. We're back with Smart Girl Politics. Nancy Nancy Elliott is our Smart Girl, former representative and now an international authority, I think, on euthanasia. And we're missing Susan Olson, who's my buddy in crime, partner in crime, but she's fine. She just has been snowed under with a project that she didn't expect to go this long, and it's kind of fun. But at any rate, we do miss her, and she will be back. And Nancy's in studio with us now. Hopefully, we'll be able to talk about the Constitution. It's very interesting that that Greg Marad made a comment in the last segment. He's with the National Right to Work Committee. And he made a comment in the last segment that said that we actually have lost our right, our freedom to assemble, which is in the
Associate.
Well, also to assemble and collectively bargain in some cases, or not,
or not
be part of it. If you didn't want to associate, you're right. Then we couldn't. We have to give that up if you're in a state that doesn't have a right to work law in it.
Yeah, I mean, that is, it actually, to me, has a lot to do with stifling your freedom of speech, because they are making you join, and you have to go with this particular group's talk as opposed to what might actually be what you had in mind to say.
Well, the reason I refer to that is because I was in a meeting this week, actually, where they were talking about, of course, the hot topic of the day is we are losing our Second Amendment right, and and as one of our constitutional scholars said, that it was in the framers' intent was that it was a duty for every landowner to have an arm of some sort, a firearm, to defend their property and to take care of their family and protect them. And it was also there to protect our other Bill of Rights. And so it's interesting, she had said at that time that we have in fact lost some of our rights. We've already given up some of our constitutional rights. And it was interesting that he mentioned it.
Yes, yes, they're whittling away at them one by one, and heading us to a socialist state, very close to a Nazi state. I hate to say that, that's kind of alarmist, but you know, you look at our president talking about we need to do this for the children. That's just what Hitler said.
Exactly. And Hitler wasn't the only one. I was reading an article about Russia and how the Russians used to all own firearms to protect their property and their lives and their families. When they finally took away all of their firearms, then they then had the dictatorship and the tyranny started blossoming, and there was nothing the people could do about it because you have no way to fight back.
When you have a government out of control that has control of a military out of control and totally helpless people, you're powerless.
Right. And I think it's interesting, too. We lived in Australia when there was a gang-like murder of one of their police officers, and it was like one of the very first, or it was very, very rare that something would happen where you have that type of an assassination-type murder. And so one of their big moves was to control all of the guns, and they collected them. And now Australia, which at the time we were there, had a very, very low crime rate, has now got a very high crime rate. And to say how honest the people were at the time, my daughter had lost her wallet at a big convention-type gathering in a football stadium type setup. And it was so fascinating because two or three years later, we were called in by the postmaster at the embassy, and he says, I have a wallet for you. It says it belongs to your daughter. And someone had taken it and put it in the a mailbox, assuming that it would get back to the Americans that way. And it actually showed up, and it had everything in it that she had in it when she lost it. It's amazing.
You know, it's no surprise that crime goes up as the guns are removed from the law-abiding citizens, because a criminal is not going to care if it's illegal. They're going to do what they want to do, and a law-abiding person that could have defended themselves will no longer be able to.
Right. Well, all that to say, on January 31st, at the State House, there is a rally that is going to go on, put on by patriots. There's no one organization that's been pulling this together to exactly say, we are here to say we do not want our Constitution trampled on any further and do not in any way infringe upon our right to bear arms, as the Constitution says.
If we don't stand up, and if the people out there don't get involved, we won't have any rights left. We'll be just like all the other socialist countries.
And it's time to get our heads out of the sand, so to speak, and start paying attention, because we have allowed little things that we don't want to be involved in, or not so much we don't want to be involved in. We get busy where we're taking care of our families, we're trying to go to work, we're dealing with teenagers in some cases, or little toddlers in others, where they do take up a lot of time. I was talking to a friend who had a baby. He got married late in life, and he's got this little baby a little late in life, and he was saying to me, "Well, man, I'm just so tired. I mean, we sit and we watch him toddle around the living room and all the things he does, and so we can spend time with him. And then he goes to bed at 8 o'clock, and we're going, it's 9 o'clock. Let's go to bed."
Well, you know, and that's one of the problems with being in such a prosperous society. We are so busy providing, making sure we have the best of everything for our families, while we're actually neglecting the most important thing, their future. These children that we care about so dearly are not going to have the future that we've enjoyed if we do not have a correction.
Oh, yes, and it has to be a major correction. I think we've become so used to somebody else doing it for us in many respects that we don't have the personal responsibility to take care of things on our own, and so we've let things slide. I keep thinking about Social Security as my hot button in a way, because before Social Security, before Franklin Delano Roosevelt, I often ask the question, what did we do? Well, we saved our coins and our money, and we had a little savings account set over to the side, and a credit card was even just unheard of. And in a lot of places, you didn't buy even a house unless you had saved enough money to be able to pay cash for it. So loans were not real popular either.
Well, and the other thing that they did, which we totally neglect today, is taking care of your own. If you've got a mother or a father, we took care of our own. You know, they sometimes lived with us. And if we are going to have them living at a level, maybe we need to do some more of that, you know, share our life with them.
Well, I know that people live longer if they're able to live in their own homes or with their own families. They tend to have a longer lifestyle It's not a lifestyle. It's a life. A life.
Quality
time.
Of life?
The quality of life. It's the length of life. And
longevity?
Longevity, yes. And thank you. That's the word. It wasn't even close to what I thought it might be. Oh, well. But, you know, my mother used to accuse me of making up words. And so now we know why. At any rate, it is a proven fact that people who live in their homes with their families do live longer, and they also have a higher quality of life as a result.
That's just total common sense.
Yeah. If they have if they have someone to take care of and a reason for living, there seems to be a lot richer community.
Absolutely.
Going
people
on.
People that you love, that love you.
Right. And I think it's fascinating. And here in New Hampshire, there are families where there are 4 and 5 generations living in the same house because of various circumstances. But I always find it really exciting when I see that, because there's a certain amount of interchange that goes on between the generations that is very, very helpful.
We've done that in my family, and it's not been for a super long time, but it adds a lot of richness. You really get to know grandchildren and parents, and it's not a bad thing to do.
No, and I agree. I keep telling my children that they are my Social Security problem, and if something happens, I do not want to go to the nursing home, so they better figure out how they're going to deal with me.
Well, and the thing is, the way they've cut, I mean, they raided Social Security for Obamacare, and they continue to raid it, and so we may get a little check, but it'll just be like a tip. We still need a way to provide to live, because Social Security, I don't think, is going to cut it.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's going to, in essence, if you really look at the structure of what it was, and even though it was supposed to be an emergency measure in the beginning, it has always been set up like a Ponzi scheme. The people who come on later on are the ones that are paying for the person that first had the opportunity to take advantage of it. So, and as we lose our respect for life, I mean, I'm reminded of the president's speech yesterday about every child matters, and that we have to do everything we can to protect those lives and make sure that they grow up in safety and so forth. And yet here's the same president who has managed to vote or non-vote, present vote. I'm not sure what he did in the state of Illinois when they had the Born Alive Protection Bill going through. He voted to let those babies die on the table. And he's been also a very strong proponent for taking that human life before it's even born. And, if that's true, why isn't he fighting for the life of our children? And we've got the Concord March for Life coming up on Saturday, and the National Right to Life March for Life is on the 25th of January. So
it boggles your mind. I mean, in one side you're saying protect the children, do everything you can for the children, and then supporting things that kill the children. I just do not see how it can happen, how it can add up.
Right. I don't either. And, speaking of adding up, it also impacts the future generations, because it's the future generations that will be the continuation of our society. And if we straddle our children in reality with fewer numbers, it's going to be a tougher road to haul, no matter what you do.
The higher abortion rate is a large part of the problem with the Social Security. We've aborted 55 million babies since Roe v. Wade, 1970s. That's huge. If we had those people, we might be in a whole different position.
Right. And talking about the regard for life, it's interesting to me, too, because we have we don't hear about some of the other situations. We hear about Newtown because it was so horrific when it happened. But we also don't hear about the fact that every month we lose anywhere from 15 to 30 soldiers.
True.
And we don't hear about all of the automobile accidents that involve children. It's sort of ironic. We have, and not that any life is expendable, but we have maybe a little over 2,000 people or young people who die because of a firearm, and yet we have over 6,600 something like that who die from automobile accidents, and we're not out there outlawing automobiles.
This is about people trying to push their agenda. They're using this terrible tragedy to push their personal agenda, and really it boggles my mind why it is not being pushed treatment for mental illness that these people definitely have, as opposed to going after an inanimate object.
Right, exactly. Well, and it's not just the mental illness. It's the fact that we really have a society that has started to disrespect life, and we've become more of a culture of death. And, well, we're at the end of our hour, and it's been a great having you here again, Nancy. I'm just so excited. And in between your jet lagging or your jet setting from place to place around the world, I'm excited to hear about what happens in Rome when you come back. So please come and visit us again.
I'd love to.
Well, next week, our guests will be Diane Gilbert from the National Heritage Center for Constitutional Studies here in New Hampshire. Diane is a constitutional expert, and she will enlighten us further on the Constitution and the rights we've already relinquished. Would it bother you to know that the Federal Centers for Disease Control has been showing your daughter's health records to see how she responded to an STD teen pregnancy prevention program? Or how about if the Federal Department of Education and Department of Labor scrutinized your son's academic performance to see if he should be encouraged to leave high school early to learn a trade? Or would you think that the government was maybe intruding on your territory as a parent? Emmett McGroarty from the American Principles Project will tell us what the Obama Department of Education has up their sleeves, including information on the Common Core Standards. It's a program you won't want to miss. Be sure to tune in next week. This is Karen Testerman with Smart Girl Politics on WLMW.